Hello, everyone. Welcome to session here. It's Application Virtualization 5.0 and Office, Better Together. My name is Matt Yandek. I'm a developer on the Application Virtualization team out in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and super excited to be here today to talk a little bit about AppV and Office and how you can use AppV to make your Office deployments much easier and will remove a lot of the difficulty for you. So before I get started, I just wanted to remind you that some of the guys from the MDOP engineering team are here and they passed out some surveys to you. So we really would appreciate it if you could fill some of those surveys out and get them back to us. Your feedback is super helpful and really valuable to us. So we would really appreciate that if you just take the few minutes of time to fill those out. So awesome. All right, so let's begin. So today, I really have three objectives for this talk. The first is to talk a little bit about AppV 5.0, some of the improvements we've made over the last few years. Really proud of this release. I think we've made a lot of improvements, and I just wanted to take a little bit of time to sort of highlight some of those to you and share in my enthusiasm there. The second thing I wanted to talk about today is about Office 365. And how you can create Office AppV packages easier. We take away a lot of the difficulty with the new version of Office, so I'm gonna show you guys that today. And finally, I also wanna talk about Office 2010 and how with AppV 5.0 SP1, we released a sequencing kit, which will make sequencing Office 2010 a much easier endeavor, and I will also be demonstrating that to you as well. All right, so this is a fun slide. A little bit of history. So AppV came from a little company called Softricity that was acquired in 2006. I'm happy to say that I was part of that acquisition. Back then, I remember trying to sequence Office, and it was very painstakingly slow and difficult to do, and this was with Office 2003. And over the years, we've really focused our energy in trying to improve that experience of sequencing and deploying Office. And you know, it all started with, we started publishing recipes to help you sequence Office, make it a little bit easier. Then we started creating package accelerators. We've also issued deployment kits that you can use in conjunction with the sequencer to create Office packages. And finally, with Office 365, we've created, in conjunction with the Office team, a tool called the Office Deployment Tool, which I'll be demonstrating here shortly, to create Office packages without having to use the sequencer. Super easy. We've taken away almost all of the difficulty in creating Office packages and updating those packages, and we're super excited about that tool. In addition, as I mentioned before, we've created some tools, mainly the Office 2010 sequencing kit, as well as the deployment kit, which you can also download and use in conjunction with your Office 2010 installation media, to create Office 2010 packages that you can use with your AppV 5.0 deployments. So we'll be showing both of those to you today. All right, so first let's talk a little bit about the improvements that we've made in AppV 5.0. There's really three pillars that we tried to focus on here. The first pillar was about integration with the operating system and creating a more seamless experience with AppV. I'm sure you all remember back in the day with the 4.6 and before we had a dedicated Q drive. Well, we don't have that any longer. Instead, we integrate everything with the native file system. So you can browse to your package store. You can view all of the contents of your packages on the file system. They're there. There's no magic. Second, we wanted to create some flexibility around your virtualization of your applications and your deployments. So we've continued to give you the ability to have your applications be fully isolated, but we've also created our virtual application extension. So you have the flexibility now to create and integrate further your virtual applications with your operating system, with Windows, so that you can have a better experience with your virtual apps. If you went to Matthias's talk earlier, he talked about all the different virtual application extensions that we do support, and we try to use a lot of those with our Office packages that we have here. So You'll be seeing a little bit of that shortly. And finally, we focused on creating a better management experience of AppV. AppV 4.6 was all management console based. No longer do we have to deal with that. Instead, everything has a PowerShell interface. It's super easy to use, it's super powerful, and it's a much better experience in AppV 5.0 than you had in AppV 4.6. Also, with the server, instead of having, again, the management console, you have a web-based UI that you can access through the web, and you can manage your AppV deployment through your personal site. Okay, so this slide sort of highlights some of the improvements of AppV 5.0 over AppV 4.6. So the first one, as I touched on before, there's no more Q drive. Yay, everything is on the native file system. Finally, there's no more package size limit. It used to be 4 gigabytes. Now you can create a package as large as you want. This particularly was a problem with some of the larger applications out there, and we've heard the feedback, and we really tried to, or we really, you know, we got rid of that one so that you guys can create whatever packages you would like. As I mentioned before, you now have some flexibility in your virtualization. If you want to have your packages be fully isolated, you can. If you want to have integration with the operating system, you can also do that. Your app has a comm server. You need that to be available to other applications on the system. All you have to do is enable it in the app and publish your app, and you have the comm server available on your machine. We've improved the story around creating package groups, or what we used to call dynamic suite composition, we now call virtual application connection. Before, when you created dynamic suite, you had to go in and modify OSD files directly. So you had to go in and actually edit the packages themselves in order to link them together with one another so you could use them together. No longer do you have to do that. Instead, you have a separate XML file that you can configure with your definition of your connection group, and you use that and deploy it on the client with your application packages, and you can link them together, and they just work together. Shared content store is a much easier thing to manage today than it used to be. You can use the same exact workflow as you do with normal client deployments with the shared content store, so we've really improved that experience. Again, PowerShell, it's much more powerful. SFT MIME was sometimes difficult to use, and the PowerShell scripting surface that we've provided now in AppV 5.0 really is an improvement over what we had in 4.6. And finally, we have the web-based management that you can go and manage your server through the web versus having a management console. Okay. So now let's talk about Office 365 on AppV. So first off, before I get into this, just want to dispel some confusion or some people. I've had conversations with people. Some people seem it wasn't even clear to me until like a week ago. Office 365 and Office 2013. What's the difference? Well, essentially they are the same. The functionality of the two are identical. Office 365 is the license. It's the subscription-based license model for Office, but they are the same. For AppV 5.0, in order to fully utilize AppV 5.0 with Office, you have to use the 365 version of Office. Okay. So the key points here about Office 365 and AppV is that the packages are super easy to build. You no longer have to use a sequencer. All you have to do is go to Microsoft.com Download Center. You download a tool called the Office Deployment Tool. And you have two easy steps, and the output of that is an Office 365 package that acts just like any other Office package. If you've ever sequenced Office 2010 before, you probably remember the deployment kit. The deployment kit was used for licensing, and no longer do you have to have the deployment kit to create these packages either. So there's no extra step of when you deploy your packages to your clients of having to also deploy this extra kit to your client to ensure that the licensing of Office works on that client machine. You get a package, it works out of the box, they have their Office 365 subscription, they log in, and they're all set to go, and they can begin using Office as soon as it becomes available on their machine. It's easy to upgrade and patch. Before, again, you had to go and open your Office package on the sequencer. You had to go and download the patches and find which ones that you wanted, and then you had to go and install them and go through the whole sequencer workflow. And it was a cumbersome activity. There was a lot of work to do there. And every time a new patch came out, you had to go back in and open it up in the sequencer and go through the upgrade path again. You don't have to do that anymore. All you do here, again, is use the Office deployment tool. You download the new bits. You create a new package. And the package is of the same lineage as the lineage of the parent package, the other package that you've already created. And it's just a new version. So you can deploy a new version of the Office 365 package without ever having to use the sequencer. So it's deployed just like any other AFV package. It is the same as an AFV package. There is limited side-by-side deployment. I'm going to talk a little bit about Office 2010 and sequencing it. I'm going to demonstrate that later. When you sequence Office 2010, you have really two options. You can either do a fully integrated or an integrated version of the Office 2010 package. The other option is to do the isolated version. Remember, we give you the choice. You can't have a fully integrated Office 2010 and an integrated Office 2013 package together on the same client. Just doesn't work that way, because remember, they're integrated with the operating system. So if you have an isolated Office 2010 package and an Office 2013 package, then you can use those together in your deployment. You can use them in connection groups. If you have add-ins that you want to create and maintain separately from your Office package, you can do that. You can create, and I'll talk about how you can do that later, but you can create add-ins. So if you have plugins that you need for Office, you can create them, you can provision them to your users, and you can connect them using connection group technology, and they just work. And I will be demonstrating that in a bit. You can use your Office 365 package either through your full AppV infrastructure or using Config Manager 2012 SP1. And finally, again, as if you attended Matthias's talk earlier, and I'll also be showing a little bit more of this, you can configure your Office packages using dynamic deployment configuration. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes. OK, so we talked about better integration. And the Office 365 package is really the pinnacle of integration for virtual applications. It works just like natively installed Office. You get all of the integration that you would get, including search, SharePoint integration, Office's shell extensions. All of that stuff works. It's there. You get your Office 365 package, you deploy it to your clients. Your end users don't know the difference. It feels like Office is installed, but it isn't. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Office deployment tool. Like I said before, it's two easy steps. This slide's more of reference, and I'm sure you can't read that, but that's okay. I'm gonna do a demo in a second. Two easy steps. You go to the download center, you download the Office deployment tool, you install it, you download the package, and then you build the package, or you download the bits of Office, and then you build the package. And it is super easy to do. And let me show you what it looks like. I have a machine set up with it installed. So basically, you go to the download center, and you download a self-extracting .exe. You run it. It asks you, where do you want to put the files? Here, I put them in a location called ODT. And there's two files. That's it. There's a setup.exe, and there's a configuration XML file. Let me show you the contents of the configuration XML file. So here is what the XML looks like. It's really simple. Basically, you have to specify a couple things. The source path is the location on disk where you want the bits to be downloaded and put on your local file system. The next one is the Office Client Edition. You specify 32 or 64-bit. There's the product ID. Here we're doing Office 365 Pro Plus Retail. Your language, English. And then finally, the last one at the bottom is logging. Basically, the output of the tool, it gives you a bunch of verbose logging, and you can specify the location to where you want your log files to be placed. In this case, they're going to go to the temp folder. OK, so I've installed the Office deployment tool. And obviously, well, so I'm not connected to the internet, and downloading the bits would take too long. So I've already done this here on this client. But here's the output of the download operation. So I ran a command. Remember, there's a setup.exe. I specified the download flag, and I specified the location of the configuration XML file. It's that easy. Once it does that, it goes to the CDN. It finds the bits for the latest version of Office that's available there, and it downloads them to your machine to the location specified in your configuration XML file. So here, it has downloaded them all to my location that I specified. Oops. Which is under package source. And here you'll just see there's a bunch of cab files. And if you browse into this folder even further, there's some more cab files and a couple DAT files. So this is all of Office pretty much for you. And now what we can do is we can take these files and we can build an AppV package again using the same setup.exe tool. So I've also done that already because that takes about 10 minutes or so, much faster than actually sequencing Office. So, and you don't have anything, no intervention is needed, and it's almost impossible to mess up, although I've seen it fail once. But that's where the logs come in. So here it didn't fail. It created the package successfully. And again, I run the setup.exe tool. And again, I specify, this time, the packager flag. Specify the location of the configuration XML and the location of where I want the resulting package to be created on my local file system. So then if I navigate to that location here, under package out, it creates a subfolder called appv packages. And there you'll see there are three files created for you. The appv file, which is the actual package file. It contains all of the bits of Office. And then you'll see that there's a deployment config file and a user config file, which I'll be showing a little bit more of later, but those are used to configure your Office package if you need to do so. Okay. So in summary, this is again for your records here and for you to go back and look at later. Two steps, download, build it, you're done. Office package, super easy. Okay, so moving on. So now we have our Office package. What can we do with it? Well, as I mentioned before, you know, if you have your Office, or if you have your full AppV infrastructure, or if you're using Config Manager 2012 SP1, you can use either of those to deploy your AppV package to all of your users. For the sake of simplicity here, I'm just going to use the PowerShell management surface that we provide, and I'm going to demonstrate how we can use the Office package that we just created, and we can customize it and use it on our client machine. So let me get that set up here. Okay, so we're back on the same client machine that we were just on where we created the package. It's still there. So let's actually go and do some configuration of this package. So let's say that in your enterprise, your users are heavy users of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, but no one really needs access. As a matter of fact, you know, someone in your high up in your organization hates access and they don't want it to be deployed on the client machines for whatever reason. So we can do that. So here we're going to go in and we're going to actually modify the deployment config file. And we're going to do two things. We're going to disable access. And we're going to also add a shortcut to our desktop for Word, because everyone uses Word all the time and we want to have a shortcut on our desktop for Word. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to find our application registration for our application entry for access. And this is a large file, so I'm just going to search for it here really quick. And here it is, right here. So you'll see application ID is msaccess.exe. It's the location where it lives on disk. And you'll notice that there's a property of the application entry in the XML called enabled. And right now it's enabled. It's true. So if I were to publish this package right now, access would show up for us. Well, I don't want access, so I'm going to disable it. So I will set this to false. And then in addition, remember we said we wanted to add a shortcut to Word on the desktop. So let's find that really fast. Okay, so here we're in our shortcut section of the XML. And remember, you can use the deployment config and the user config to further customize your FV package. You don't need to use a deployment config file, but if you want to further configure your packages, then deployment config and user config are the ways to do that. So here I have one shortcut for Office, which is going to get published. I'm going to add this new one here. And I will put it on the common desktop. Okay, so I have modified my deployment config file with those two things. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add and publish my appv package. Before I do that, so there's a lot of configuration properties that you can read about the client as it's currently configured on your machine. And for the Office package, we need to have scripting enabled. The reason for that is that you can declare scripts to run in your deployment config files. And in this particular case, Office package that gets generated by the deployment tool does have a script. So we need to make sure that that script runs. And actually, if I were to try to deploy this package right now on my client, it would fail because scripting is currently disabled. And it would complain and throw an error at me saying that scripting must be enabled in order to publish this package. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enable scripting. And here I use the set appv client configuration with the enable package scripts flag, and I will specify 1. So now scripting is enabled. So now that we've done that, now that we've modified our deployment config, now we can add and publish our Office package on our machine. So let me do that now. So the way you add a package to the machine is with the add appv client package PowerShell command. And here we want to specify the location of our appv package, which is in our package out folder where we had created the package with the deployment tool. And we want to specify the deployment config file that we just modified. Remember, we don't have to use the deployment config file, but since we are providing some additional changes to the package, how we want it to be deployed, we're going to specify the deployment config file here. So let me specify that. Okay, and now we can just pipe that to a publish command. And here we're going to specify global. Okay, so the reason we need to specify global is because of the way that Office works. Office requires that a lot of its registration of its extension points be placed in locations that are global. So if there's registry settings, they need to be under the HKLM key, not HK current user, or Office won't pick them up correctly. So by publishing them to the global location, you get the full integration of Office, and everything will work. Can you publish the Office package non-globally? Yes. Will it work? No. Well, it'll publish, but you won't get the full integrated experience. Things like search won't work. Basically, any comm servers or anything that Office provides for other applications or for the operating system itself to use and to make Office a better experience on your client just won't work. So here we've published globally, so that way all the integration points do work, and we'll get the full awesome Office experience. So just to demonstrate, I've published Office, so if we look for our apps, you'll see that they show up. You can find Excel is here. PowerPoint has been installed or has been published with the Office package. You have Outlook, Yeah, what about access? Remember, we disabled access with the deployment config. Is that there? No, there's no access. It's not there because we disabled it in the deployment config. The app vclient respected that setting in the deployment config file, and when publishing the packages, access was not published. So we have Office fully published on the client, fully integrated because we published it globally, and there's no access. And also remember, we created an additional shortcut on the desktop just for Word, and there it is on my desktop. Now we're going to launch Word, and you'll see at the bottom there is a little progress bar. It's loading the primary feature block of the application. This package has been optimized for first launch, and it's downloading that primary feature block now, and Word is launching, and there it is. And it's going to tell me that I don't have an internet connection, which I know. I'm all right with that. And also, it's going to ask me if I want to send some information to Microsoft. And for now, I'm not going to do that because I don't have an internet connection anyway. And then finally, the first Office launch experience where they walk you through what's changed in Office and give you an overview of all the goodness in the new Office 2013. I'm going to dismiss that for now. So the question is, can you pre-dismiss that first launch experience? Normally, with the normal app V, like if you're sequencing an app, you can do the first launch and you would go through that. But since you're using the Office deployment tool here, there's no way to dismiss that the first time. So the user will get that prompt the first time they launch an Office app. And then finally, you'll see at the top there, it's telling me that, you know, I haven't activated yet, and I have until June 8th because this is the Office 365 version of Office. So there you have it. It's that easy. Okay, so let's go back to our PowerPoint. All right. So to summarize, you have your Office 365 package. It acts just like any other AppV package. You can configure it using dynamic deployment configuration. You can configure your shortcuts, your FTAs, what apps are available. All of those things can be configured there. Works just like any other AppV package. So now you have your AppV package, but you want to add some plugins. You know, a lot of people who use Office, including myself, there are valuable add-ins that we use on a daily basis, and you know, we need to be able to use those. So how do we do that with this new package that we just created? Well, it's very simple, actually, and I'm going to demonstrate how to create the connection group. I don't have a demo for actually creating a plugin, but I will cover that in a bit on how to actually create one. So let's go back to the same client machine that we were just working on. And you see we still have Word published on the desktop. But now what we want to do is we want to create a connection group that adds a plugin. In this case, it's Assemblio add-in. And we want to add that add-in with our Office package that's deployed on our client. So how do we do that? Well, it's pretty simple. So here I have my package, Assemblio add-in. And I also have this little file called cg.xml. And I'm going to open that up just to show you the contents of that. So this is a connection group definition file. It's a simple XML file, and it describes the relationship of all of the packages that go into a connection group. And it defines the relationship of those packages. So here we have two packages. The first package is the Assemblio package, followed by the Office package. The ordering is important to a degree. It depends. Sometimes it's more important than others, but what the order in which the packages appear in the deployment config, or sorry, in the connection group XML, it basically says what is the order in which we resolve conflicts inside of that package. So if you have the same file in two packages and you put them in a single connection group, the package that's above the other package, it's a stack, so the package that's on the top, that one wins. So if you have foo.txt in both of those files, or both of those packages in the same location, when you launch an app inside that virtual environment, the one that's in the topmost package will be the one that's seen by the end user. Okay, so that's our connection group XML. So what we want to do also was when we're creating a connection group, you have to be sure that there are certain settings of the packages that need to be aligned with each other. If they're not the same, then when you go and try to add that connection group, that operation is going to fail. So right now, as an example, in the Office 365 package, one of the subsystems that Matthias talked about in his talk earlier, which is virtual objects, it is currently set to enabled, and in the plugin, it's set to, actually I think it's the other way around, it's disabled in Office and it's enabled in our package. Don't worry, you don't really need to know that much detail. If you tried to go and add and publish or add and enable this connection group with these packages, it will give you a great error message and it'll tell you that the setting for virtual objects are in conflict and to go and modify the deployment config. So don't need to know that many details about it. So let's go and edit this file just to make sure that we have the same settings. Oops. So we're going to look for the virtual objects section. And here you'll see it's enabled. If I were to go back and look at the Office package, it's not enabled. So here I'm just going to make that same change and save it. Now we'll go back to our PowerShell session. And we're going to now add and enable our package group. But before we do that, we need to add and publish our package. So let's again do that. This one is under Assemblio add-in. And again, I want to specify the deployment config file because we just had to make a change to disable virtual objects. And then we want to publish the package. And again, we need to publish it globally, and that's because this is another setting in which all of the packages in the connection group must be in alignment. If you have one package that's published globally and another one that's not that's published to per user, and you try to create a connection group with them, it will fail. PowerShell will complain at you and tell you that you need to make sure that all of the packages are targeting the same published entity, either the computer or the user. So here I publish it globally. That one took not nearly as long because it's a much smaller package. So now I have both my Office package and I have my Assemblio add-in. Now I can go and create my connection group. So again, it's just another PowerShell command. In this case, it's the add app vClient connection group. Here, all we need to specify is the XML file in which describes the relationship of the packages in the connection group. And then we're going to pipe that to another command, which is enable app vClient connection group. And here again, because all of our packages were published globally, we need to enable the connection group globally. So I will do that, and it's quick and easy. So now we have a connection group, and the name is Office Assemblio add-in, which was defined in the XML file. And now if I launch Word again, I should see the Assemblio add-in be loaded, and there should be an additional tab in Word. So let's do that. Excuse me. So again, it's telling me that I need to connect to the network. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second because I did tell you that was the first launch experience. So here, I have Office, or I have Word running, and you'll notice here at the top there's an additional tab called Academic, and one of those guys is Send Assemblio. So you'll see now that the add-in has been loaded into Word. And it's there, and it works just as if it was sequenced with the package, but obviously we didn't have to do that. We just created it separately, configured it with the connection group, and it just works. To go back and touch briefly on the conversation we were having earlier about that first launch, essentially the way that we treat connection groups and applications or in packages, they're separate, basically. The settings for packages and the settings for connection groups aren't combined into the same. So if you've launched Word first without being in a connection group, any settings that are accrued, like if you go and change some of the settings of Word and you want to change the background scheme, or you go and add additional tabs, or whatever edits you make to the environment, those are stored with the package. So Matthias talked about this a little bit in his talk earlier, showing in one of his demos when he was looking at the applications with the PowerShell, and was showing what virtual environment ID they had and what package ID they had. And in his case, since they weren't in a connection group, they were the same. But when you put a package into a connection group, it will actually have a different virtual environment, and it will be the virtual environment of the connection group itself. So that's why we saw that dialog pop up again, because we launched it this time as part of a connection group, in which case it had no settings prior to that launch, and it's accruing its own set of state now as the package group. Okay, so the question was, if you add additional plugins after the fact, will the settings then get reset? And the answer is no. Actually, the settings are for the connection group. So as long as you're modifying the same connection group, it's not version specific, so it's just with the connection group ID itself. So as long as you're editing the same connection group, you will get settings that persist with that connection group, regardless of how many times you go and modify which plugins you're adding to that connection group. So we allow connection groups of one package, so if you think you're going to later on have packages suited or put together with your Office deployment or with any other apps as well, you can create a connection group of one app or one package and then later on go and update that connection group without the fear of losing your settings. So, okay. So there we have it. And okay, so let's go back to our... Okay, so again, in summary, Office 365 with add-ins. You can build an add-in package, and I didn't really talk about this, so let me talk a little bit about how you actually create an add-in package for Office 365. So Office 365 is based off of a technology called Click to Run, which if you've been following AppV and Office, you're probably familiar with that technology. It's basically the better deployment experience of Office, and it gets you basically up and running in 30 seconds or so, give or take. It's they stream everything on demand in the background, and it's fast. And so in order to create an Office add-in for your AppV package of Office 365, you need to go and install the sequencer on your machine and follow best practices of sequencing. And also you need to install Office Click to Run. And that's going to serve as the baseline for your sequencing of any add-ins that you have. So you'll have your sequencer, you'll have the Office 365 Click to Run deployed on your machine. Then you're ready to actually go and create your add-in package, and you just follow the basic steps that you would for any other add-in. Office is already there. You'll go and you'll install your plugin. You'll go and launch and make sure that it's there and it works and everything on your sequencing machine through the normal sequencing steps, and the result will be your add-in package that you can then use, just as I demonstrated in that previous demo. Okay. Again, you must, if you want the full integrated experience of Office, publish globally both your Office package and any add-in packages. User publishing won't work for the fully integrated experience. And then finally, you can use connection groups to connect your Office package and any other packages that you want to connect with it. I also alluded to a little bit before about upgrades. Upgrades are much easier now. You use the Office deployment tool again, just like we did to create the package. You go through the same steps. You run setup.exe first with the download flag. It will go to the CDN. It will download the newest bits of Office to your machine. You then again run the setup with the packager flag, and that will create a new version of the package. It will have the same package ID as the previous package that you created, so that you're guaranteed the same lineage of your Office packages. So you can go to your deployment, whether that's via SCCM 2012 SP1 or with your full AppV infrastructure, you can take your new version of your package, make it available to users the next time they get a refresh from the server or get their package from SCCM. They will have the new version, but it will be the same lineage, so all of their settings will still be there, and it will be pretty much seamless to the end user. Okay, so the next couple slides are just resource slides. This slide here says where you can go and download the Office deployment tool, as well as read some more details on the Office deployment tool. And finally, also, we have, this is a great site, actually. This is put on by some of the folks over on, some of the folks on the Office team. It's the Garage. It's basically Office for IT pros, and they have a lot of interesting blog posts and a lot of interesting content. So I encourage you to go and read up on that often. They update it quite frequently, and there's really a lot of good reads there. So it's pretty interesting stuff. Okay. So Office 365 is awesome, and everyone loves it, including myself. It's great. But what if you're just not quite ready to go to Office 365 yet? You know, we released AppV 5.0, and our statement was that you couldn't use Office 2010, and it was a really painful experience, and we got a lot of feedback from you folks, and you know, we heard the feedback, and we really wanted to get a solution to you guys to be able to use Office 2010 with AppV 5.0. So you know, around the SP1 release of AppV 5.0, we also released some additional tooling that you can use now to create fully integrated or isolated Office 2010 packages that you can use with your AppV 5.0 deployments. Okay, so let me give you a brief overview of how this works, and then I have a few demos that I will go through and show how you can create an Office 2010 package and deploy it on your client. So, there's two things that you need to download, and there's a resource slide later on that has all the links to where you can read up on all the details here about Office 2010 and how to create these packages. But basically, there's two pieces. There's a deployment kit, and this is pretty much the same deployment kit that you, if you sequenced Office 2010 before with AppV 4.6, that you're probably familiar with. It provides the licensing service for Office, essentially. There's also a new tool that we've created just specifically for Office 2010 and creating packages. It's called the Sequencing Kit, and you can download that from Microsoft Download Center, and I will show you how to use both of those to create an Office 2010 package here in a few moments. Just like with Office 2010 and AppV 4.6, it works with various licensing models. There's no change here than from Office 2010 with 4.6. Again, you can customize your package using deployment config. And the app should be published globally if you're using the fully integrated version of Office 2010. So we've made some improvements to Office 2010 running on AppV 5.0, utilizing some of our application extension points that we've created with 5.0. And we've created a way for you to really utilize that and create a better Office 2010 experience running AppV 5.0. If you don't want fully integrated, then there's a way, and if you go through the instructions, it'll show you how to either create a fully integrated or not. But if you don't want the fully integrated, then you can publish per user, and the apps will work. So enough of that. Let's get to the demos. So the first demo that I want to show you is actually sequencing Office 2010. Let me just load my snapshot here. And obviously, since we only have about 30 minutes left, I have several snapshots along the way. So I will cheat a little bit and fast forward at various stages of the creation of the package, but assure me it works. I have a package that I created myself that I will also show you on the client here once we're done sequencing. So how do we sequence Office 2010? Well, It is not too terribly difficult. There's some additional steps, but everything's published on Microsoft.com, so you can go there and read up on it. But here I will show you basically how we do it. So before we go and install, or before we even start sequencing anything, what we need to do is we need to install that Office licensing kit, the deployment tool. Before I do that, I'll just show you what I have all on my sequencing station here. So I've downloaded these two things from the download center. I've downloaded the sequencing kit, and I've downloaded the deployment kit. And I've expanded their contents here, and then here's my Office installation media. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to install the Office deployment kit on my machine. And what this will do is it will go and it will add the licensing service to my sequencing station. So I will do that now. Excuse me. Okay. So now we're going to launch our sequencer, which I've already installed on my machine. All right. So we have our sequencer. Hopefully this is familiar to some of you. If it's not, then I hope this is a valuable experience for you, seeing sequencing for the first time. All right, so we're going to create a new package. Actually, before we do that, yes, did his homework. So we need to create a couple exclusion items. So I've already pre-created these. Place them here. So exclusions, you can create both VFS and VREG exclusions, and what those actually do, it basically just tells the sequencer, while this application is installing on my system, if any files are placed in any of the locations that are in my list of exclusions, don't include them in the final package. They'll just be excluded, and those files and folders will not exist in the resulting package that gets created. So I've created my two new exclusions. Now I can go and create my new package. So one thing that's interesting, or one thing that we talked about earlier, is here I'm going to create a fully integrated Office 2010 package. So one of the integration points is with Windows Search. Search enables, like, you go into Outlook, you can search your emails, things like that. So we need to make sure that the search service is running. So it's Windows Search. We'll start that. Okay, now it's complaining because I have other applications running, so let me close those now. I will refresh this. It's complaining because Windows Search is active, but like I said, you need to have Windows Search active in order for the sequencing to work correctly. And finally, it's complaining that there are pending restart operations, and that's because I just installed the Office licensing kit, and it doesn't go away if I don't reboot, but that's okay. You don't need to worry about that. So we're creating a standard application, and here it wants us to tell where the installer is. So here I've placed it here. We have setup.exe, and we'll select that. So we've pointed the sequencer at the installer for Office. Now it wants us to give us a package name. We'll just call it Office 2010. And then it's also asking for where the primary virtual application directory should be. And this location is the primary directory to which all of the apps, or where the majority of the application's files will be placed. There's a limitation with the sequencing kit in that you can't have a path that contains spaces. So here we're going to supply a different path than the normal default, and I'll just call it /office2010. So I'll create that folder, and here the installer is going to start. I will accept. And then here we need to do some customization. I want all the stuff from Office to be installed, so I'll just select all. And then here's the really important one, is it wants to know where I want to install the application. So here I'm going to specify the same location, that Office 2010 folder that I just specified as the primary virtual application directory, so that way we're actually placing the files where we told the sequencer that they would be placed. Okay, so we've done that. We're going to say install now, and that's going to take a few minutes. So we're going to fast forward a bit. Okay, so we've fast-forwarded past the installation of Office, and it also reboots the machine as well. So now that that's all done, and the sequencer handles the reboot, by the way. You don't have to worry about that. Once you reboot, the machine will restart. The sequencer will launch again, and you'll be right back here where we are now. So now it's asking me, okay, are you finished installing? And we're not quite ready to say we're finished yet. There's one other thing that we need to do before we say that we're finished. So let me launch an elevated command prompt. So here, we need to run that sequencing kit that we talked about earlier, that other thing that we downloaded from the download center. So we're going to go to our sequencing kit location, and there's a couple things in here. There's an MSI, excuse me, and a few other executables, and we'll be using those shortly. So here we need to run the sequencing kit itself. So here we're going to specify MSI exec and the sequencing kit. And then here it takes one parameter, and that parameter is the package root location, the same location that we already specified both in the sequencer and in the Office installer. So again, it is Office 2010. We're going to do that. This will take a second or so. Okay, that is done. And then there's one more step that we have to do. And this is for the deployment kit. So if you remember back with Office 2010 and 4.6, I talked about this earlier, you have to go and make sure that you go and install your deployment kit on every single client that you deploy your Office 2010 package on. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Instead, we're going to embed that package or that MSI directly into your package, and we're going to run a script at client deployment time that will go and actually execute that MSI and install the Office licensing tool or the Office licensing service on your client machine for you so that you don't have to worry about doing that yourself. So here we go to the Office 2010 demo folder. And you'll notice here that there's an offvert.msi. Little story about this. There's basically two versions of this tool. There's a 32-bit version and there's a 64-bit version. Since I'm sequencing on a 64-bit version of Windows, I only need to use the 64-bit version. However, if you plan on creating an Office 2010 package that works on both 32 and 64-bit clients, what you'll need to do is you'll need to go through these steps on a 32-bit sequencing station. And when you're done, when you get to this step, you're going to need to actually place both the 32 and the 64-bit versions of the offvert MSI installer into your package. And I'll show you where those go right now. So if I go and crack open the installation location of Office, you'll notice that there's a folder called integration, and you'll see that there's two folders. One is x86 and the other is x64. So for us here, we only are doing a 64-bit installation, so we're going to copy the 64-bit version of offvert.msi into the 64-bit integration folder within the package. If you were doing it on 32-bit and you were planning on putting on both 32 and 64, you would install, or you would copy the 32-bit version of offvert.msi into the x86 folder, and you would copy the 64-bit version of it into the x64 folder. So here I'm just going to copy, perhaps, there we go. I will copy this into the x64 location. Okay, we're done with that. And now I can click that I am finally done installing, and I will hit next. And this is going to take some time, and it's going to do a couple things. And in the meantime, I have another snapshot that will get us a bit further. Excuse me. Okay. So after I've finished installing, or after I've finished monitoring, and it goes and does a lot of things, and then it gives you the option at the end to choose to continue to modify the package without saving using the package editor. So I've selected that option, and now I've gotten to the advanced package editing UI in the sequencer. So I have not yet saved my package. So here, I can make changes, additional changes to the package that I need to do. So in this particular case, I need to go and I need to add that script to the package so that it goes and actually runs that MSI for us and installs the licensing service. So we're going to do that now. So I'm going to go to the package files location. And you'll notice here, right under the package root, there are two folders, and one of them is script. So we're actually going to go and add a script, well, somewhat of a script. We're going to browse, and we're going to specify one of those other files that was downloaded with the sequencing kit. So there's this tool called integrator.exe, and we're going to select that. And we'll select OK. And then we're going to go back to our elevated command prompt. Let me increase the font size a little bit so you can see that. Okay, so we'll go back to our elevated command prompt, and we're in our sequencing kit location, and we're going to run this additional tool called manifest updater, and here we're going to specify the same licensing model that we selected when we originally installed the Office licensing service on our sequencing station. So here we're doing Pro Plus. Hit enter. This goes in and modifies our manifest of our package, so it embeds that script to go and execute the MSI for us. So that's it. That's the last step. We go back to our sequencer. We're done. We can say save as. We'll tell it where to save the package. And you tell it to save. It creates the package. It'll take a few minutes. And you have your Office 2010 package that you can use with your AppV5.0 deployment that works. And it's fully integrated. So you get search. You get some SharePoint integration goodness. There's a lot of improvements that we've made with the Office 2010 experience with AppV5 over that of AppV4.6. So let's go real quick to the client machine where I have already taken the package that I've already created previously. And let's go and add and publish that package. So we have our Office package here. And you can, again, customize it with the deployment config file, just as any other AppV package. I'm going to now add, and this is the fully integrated package, so I'm going to make sure that I publish it globally. Uh-oh. 1 second. Running out of disk space. Well, that's not good. Just one moment. I'm just going to go delete a couple of these guys. All right, that should get me enough. Okay. Crisis averted. Okay, so we're going to add our package, and that was in our Office 2010 location. We're not going to use the deployment config here because I didn't do any customizations, but again, if you want to do some customizations, you can do so. And then we're going to publish this globally. So while this is going on, remember I told you that when we were creating the package, we added the script to go and install the Office licensing service. So I probably should have showed you this before, but maybe it's not too late. So if I go to my programs and features, Okay, so it's not there yet. Good. So now you'll see here that the Office 2010 deployment kit just showed up in my add remove programs. So as it's been publishing, or as it's been adding and publishing the package, it went and invoked that integrator.exe tool to launch that MSI for us and to install the licensing kit. And if we go look at our services, you'll see it also show, oops, that's not what I wanted to do. So the Office Software Protection Platform shows up now as a service, and it's running. And our Office package has now been published. So what I can do is I can, again, go here and I can find Word, which there it is, Microsoft Word 2010. I'll launch it here, and this one is not stream optimized, so it is going and fetching the blocks and loading them from the location on file, so it shouldn't take too long. And there's the splash screen. And there we have it, Office 2010 package working with AppV5.0. Well, there we go. So that's it for that demo. And let's go back to here. So again, resources. We have detailed instructions on how to create your Office 2010 packages located on the support site. I recommend going and checking that out. All the details are there. It's very detailed and should be fairly straightforward for you once you've read through it. In addition, I did not demonstrate it, but we have some package accelerators that we've created for you to have it a little bit of an easier experience creating Office 2010 packages. The accelerators, they basically expect some of those other resources to be in a certain location, and they go through and do some of the copying into the package for you so you don't have to go and provide those manual steps in the sequencing process. But so those accelerators are also available for download off of TechNet. Okay, so in addition to this talk, there's a few other MDOP theme talks that you should attend. They'll all be awesome talks. So also, please come and visit us in the Windows client booth in the expo hall. We'll be here all week, so come see us if you have any questions or comments or if you just want to chat. Here we have some additional resources. So the MDOP one is the one I'll highlight for obvious reasons. And finally, some additional resources, Channel 9, TechNet, MSDN. Please don't forget to fill out your evaluation. And that's it. So if anyone has any questions, you can either step up to the microphone and ask them, or you can just come up and see me right after the talk is over, which is about now. So thank you all for attending.
Are you ready for a couple questions? Right here. I noticed that you used a GUI, or you didn't use a GUI at all. Is there a particular reason?
Which GUI? Sorry. The AppV client?
AppV GUI.
I don't know if we're still recording or not. So the question was, it was noticed that I didn't use the GUI at all.
Yeah,
so well, I used the GUI on the sequencer, but for the client, I mean the...
Yeah, publishing and advertising, especially when you were... choosing what applications could be shown or not. You did that all through the text editor. When you have that stuff in the GUI, I was just kind of...
So are you referring to the actual like PowerShell commands I was using?
Yes,
or?
Yes.
Yeah, so I wasn't using a full AppV infrastructure.
Okay.
So I didn't have a server set up for this demo. I was just using the client directly and invoking the PowerShell.
Have you seen the bug when you work with Office 2010 or 2013 when you have a lot of things listed and you try to scroll through unselecting like Access or Word? And it keeps flipping you back to the top through the GUI?
No, I haven't seen that.
I can show it to you if you want right now.
We can chat afterwards, or you can stop
okay.
by the... Let's chat after.
Do you know if there's going to be Office 2013 for AppV, not Office 365, just because it's not supported on Terminal or USH?
Currently, there's still talks going on. We've heard the feedback. There's no plans yet, But okay. We'll take the we've heard the feedback, and we'll take the feedback to the office folks, and we'll make sure that they're, you know, they're hearing the feedback. So,
yeah, it's kind of convoluted, you know, figuring this whole thing out. But all right.
Okay. Thank you.
I noticed a lot of what you see with App V seems to be focused more on the client OS, like Windows 7, Windows 8, even with MDOP licensing, there's a lot more towards that, the documentation. Do you know if there's going to be any kind of focus for, you know, like Windows 2008, 12, Terminal Server, Citrix, you know, along those lines? Because I know there's a lot of companies trying to accomplish it, you know, with those as the target OSs.
So in terms of Windows Server 2008, App V 5.0 only supports 2008 R2 right. and above, as well as Windows 7 client and above. So 2008 wouldn't be.
Well, sorry, so R2.
Okay.
But like even like the package accelerators, when you look, they're just targeted at Windows 7 and Windows 8, and if you're going to use, you know, 2008 R2 and above, you're basically right now going to have to go from scratch.
So I would venture to guess that the Windows 7 version would work on 2008 R2 because they're the same kernel. But obviously, you know, your mileage may vary. I would say try it and see if it works for you. I don't know if we test on server OSs that way with the accelerators, but yeah, I would assume I would give it a try.
Yeah, I thought I saw on some forums that they tried using 2007 on 2008 R2, that accelerator didn't quite work.
Okay, well, it's good feedback. You know, we'll definitely take the feedback back to the engineering team, and you know, we'll talk about the accelerators and possibly, you know, what we can do for folks who want to sequence on server versions of the OS. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
So if the package always has to be global and all the add-ins have to be global, how do you handle licensing of add-ins per user? Because I have, you know, 6,000 deployments in Office and maybe 10 or 20 of some particular add-in and this one or that one.
Well, for now, I mean, the only option right now is global, right? You know, we've heard, you're not the first we've heard the feedback from. The best I can tell you is we'll take it back to both the Office team and our team, and we'll look at it and we'll see what we can do. But we unfortunately don't have any plans at the moment to change that. So okay. All right. Thank you.
If your company has not licensed Office 365, but some other Office 2013, what would you do?
Well, the only option you have is MSI installed Office 2013 at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only way you can use Office 2013 is through a 365 subscription based.
So basically same benefits and limitations that Office 2010 has?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is it similar to what you did with Office 2010 then?
In terms of what exactly? So, I mean, you can't sequence Office 2013.
Okay.
It's not supported. So the only way to use Office 2013 today is through using the Office deployment tool with Office 365.
Okay, 100%. All right, thanks.
Yep.
So if you have a network challenge, infrastructure, you know, low bandwidth and such as, that first run scares me.
Okay.
Know? And I would assume that, you know, using App V for an Office deployment would not be a scenario. It would not be a solution if you have that challenge.
So you're worried about just the so your concern is the first launch experience, basically.
Because you typically, if I deploy software now, you know, I can do it during the night, you know, when there's less utilization. But you know, if I'm deploying it where it's first run and you're streaming this amount of blocks, you know, that could be a nightmare.
Yeah, so you can, there's options for you, right? You can preload the packages so that they're fully in cache before the user ever goes and launches them. Mm-hmm. That would be one way of optimizing for that. You know, another one is instead of instead of like relying on how our streaming engine works, and basically it does out of sequence requests, so whenever it needs some bits, it will go back in and it'll install them. You can optimize your first launch experience. Well, I guess with Office 2013, it's already optimized for you, but with Office 2010, you can do that yourself on the sequencer.
Yeah.
So that way those bits are in the primary feature block, and then you can, I guess you can, I don't know if you can you download those ahead of time, just feature block one? I don't remember. Where'd Matthias go? Did he leave? Okay. Yeah, Matthias would know. I don't know the answer to that, but you can preload your packages, so at least then the first launch experience won't be a slow one, because you'll have all the bits already cached for you.
Okay. I had a question. Does a group policy pass through to virtual applications?
Group policy pass through to so if you have, like, if your application relies on some group policy settings?
Yeah, or like, for example, I know the new Office, there's group policy settings that you could cancel out the first time configuration. If you virtualized Office 2013, would those settings still pass through?
I'm not 100% sure of that answer, so I would say, Come to our booth, or we can. There may be someone who knows the answer to that one. I don't know the answer to that. With Office 2010, you can configure your package to pass. Like basically, you can treat those locations as pass through locations, and then any group policy that's applied on the machine will pass through, and you'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure on the answer with Office 2013.
Okay. Or any virtual application. Like, does group policy pass through to the virtual application?
Yeah, there is some support for that. We can talk afterwards, and I can try to better understand the problem you're trying to solve. But yeah, there is some support. Okay, thanks everybody.